Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, we're going to get through this one pretty quick, folks. Saturday morning, we got a lot going on in our personal lives. I know you do as well, but we got to get a streaming show out there because we're coming down to the wire here. I'm going to be doing this, I hope, through next weekend. We'll see about timing then, and then we'll probably dial back the streaming episodes on the very last week of the season because, frankly, it doesn't matter because everyone's going to be sitting those games out anyway, and your league shouldn't be going that week anyway. I am Dan Bespris. This is Fantasy NBA Today, a SportsEthos.com presentation. And here, well, I'm Dan Bespris on Twitter. And here is what you can be doing today. The worst schedules on this cold, wet, and rainy Saturday morning in Southern California. The worst schedules today belong to kind of the same teams we've been talking about. Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, and Portland all have basically the same schedule. They played yesterday. Now they're off for 2 days. And they start next week with a game on Monday, but no game on Tuesday. So it's that same general idea. Off for 2 days starting today. Game on Monday. Off on Tuesday. Detroit's schedule gets a little bit better after that. Phoenix, Portland, Indiana, they alternate days next week. So their schedule isn't horrible next week. But these are the teams that don't have a game the rest of this week. That's the important note. There are four teams that don't have a game the rest of this week. Don't play over the weekend. Detroit, Indiana, Phoenix, Portland. San Antonio and Utah, like Detroit, Indy, and Phoenix and Portland, San Antonio and Utah have only two games over the next 6 days. The big difference there is that their bad part of the schedule comes next week. Meaning, if you have those guys, you won't gain any games this week by making a move. So you're really kind of looking towards next week, which is a thing you can do if you're on a bye, if you have this week wrapped up, which feels somewhat unlikely. I mean, I guess you never know. You could get super lucky, and your opponent could have had a team where like three guys got hurt. If you're looking towards next week, San Antonio and Utah are also clubs that you can think about pivoting off to. But again, bearing in mind that their schedule is bad over the next 6 days, but it actually gets worse after the next two. Goes from 2 games in 6 to 1 game in 4. So I probably wouldn't do anything with those teams until Monday, but they are also of bad scheduling form. So in the very crazy chance that you have that sort of wiggle room, those are the second tier down. Who has a good schedule coming up? Well, this is easy. One team. That's it. It's just the Atlanta Hawks. They're the only team that has a schedule that's really any better than anybody else's, other than, of course, the really bad schedule teams. But then we talked about, what, 6 bad schedules, really only 4 truly bad schedules, 1 really good one, 2 kind of mediocre ones. Now you're talking about 20-some-odd, I think 22 teams, or 23, that have all kind of the same. And yeah, there are some that, you know, if you were trying to get a game today versus tomorrow and so on and so forth, but basically everybody else has about 3 games over 5 days, give or take. Not everybody, but almost everybody. There are a couple of teams that have 2 games over that stretch, but it doesn't become a problem until like Tuesday of next week. So you'd have 3 days to kind of worry about it or not worry about it a little bit before you then need to start worrying about it again. The Atlanta Hawks are the only team that has a leg up on anyone else because not only do they have a game the rest of this week, today, but they actually start next week with 3 games in 4 nights, and they are the only team that starts next week with 3 games in 4 nights. The only one. Everybody else in the NBA has either 1 or 2 games over those first 4 days. Most teams have 2. Not surprisingly, Chicago is a team that only has 1. That's a team that's going to be coming up on a bad schedule, but it's not there yet. This is, again, to start next week. Chicago's a team that only has 1 game the first 4 days next week. And that is, well, San Antonio's the other one. And Utah, who we just talked about. Remember, they go into that bad schedule at the beginning of next week. So Chicago, San Antonio, and Utah move into a bad schedule relatively early next week. But everybody else is pretty much the same, give or take which days it's happening. You probably don't need to plan all the way towards the end of next week yet, but Friday and Sunday are gigantic cards. Friday is a dozen, Sunday is 13 teams, so you're going to be pretty full on those days. And that's why Atlanta has another extra check mark in the good bucket, because they cram three games into 4 days that aren't overload days. They don't even play on the overload days. You could hold Atlanta through the end of next week if you wanted to, because they got a game on Saturday in between the overloads. And then, yeah, a lot of other teams have sort of like fine schedules. But again, as you're looking down the line, wherever you might be going, because there are a few teams, and if we have time tomorrow, we'll do this again. There are a few teams that actually go back-to-back Sunday, Monday coming up. Three or four of them, actually. If those teams then keep on playing through Wednesday or whatever, if they go Friday, Sunday, that's kind of wasteful. The streaming names on Atlanta are basically the same, although I think you could probably pare it down even a tiny bit further. Not that anybody was really going with the Vit Krejci stuff, but Jalen Johnson is questionable, so there's an actual chance that he comes back for the Atlanta game tonight. And if not tonight, I would think that he's probably back for those three games in 4 days or two of those four early next week. Meaning, if you were trying to squeeze something out of Krejci, you already aren't getting very much. And then if Jalen Johnson comes back, then it gets even smaller. So it's really just Bruno Fernando. And then if any of the slightly more capable regulars are on the waiver wire, which I think is unlikely, frankly, you know, DeAndre Hunter, relatively heavily rostered, but you never know. Maybe he pops up on a waiver wire. And you're probably not doing the Garrison Matthews dance. And, you know, again, Krejci is not doing very much. So it's really just Fernando. But it would be pretty damn useful to get three games in 4 days out of even somebody like Fernando, who's, you know, he's more of a 150 range guy these days with Onyeka Okongwu out. Now, if he shows back up again, then Fernando turns into nothing. But Okongwu's already out for their ball game tonight. So Fernando should see his, you know, 19, 20 minutes off the bench, something like that behind Clint Capella, and he'll do something with it. But therein lies the rub. Atlanta has this amazing schedule. They just don't have many guys that you can pick up to utilize in said amazing schedule. Otherwise, if you wanted to, you could hang on until tomorrow. Let's say you had one roster move left. This is about the time of the week where you should only have one or even potentially zero. You might just be riding it out. If you waited till tomorrow, Brooklyn has a Sunday-Monday back-to-back, as do Charlotte and Chicago. You've got three choices super early in the alphabet, so that's easy for our scrolling purposes. Those are the directions you would want to look tomorrow. Or if you even, I mean, you could potentially do it today, but typically I would advise don't make a move earlier than you have to, because by tomorrow you'll have a better idea of what categories you're attacking. And Brooklyn has some options, and Charlotte has some options, and Chicago doesn't have many options besides Andre Drummond. But those are the teams you're looking at tomorrow. And hopefully that also sets you up to kind of front load next week, because front loading next week is one of the most important things you can do, because there is no way to backload it because those days are full. There's some teams that have really good schedules on the back half of next week, but it kind of doesn't matter because everybody's playing with them. Schedules get really dense halfway through next week. Then everybody's off on Monday. So, the interesting thing is, as you look towards next week, Sunday and Monday are kind of inconsequential days because Sunday has 13 games, so you don't need to do anything there. And Monday has no games because of the college championship, so you don't need to do anything there. So next week and into the following week, they're really a pair of 2 6-game weeks as you're kind of plotting your course through them. Meaning if we turn our clocks back to this week again, ending this week strong and front-loading next week are really big, important things to do. I would say you don't want to have any fewer than 2 games between Monday and Wednesday of next week. And that's most teams in the NBA, but it's not all of them. But what it does do is it allows you, again, looking towards next week, it allows you to use a bunch of moves early in the week. Load up Monday through Thursday as best you can. You could use up all your moves if you wanted to, because Friday through Sunday is kind of a wash. Unless you want to try to get in on the handful of games happening on Saturday. But at that point, you know, if you were able to get a bunch of extra games played early in the week, I think that's probably worth it. But again, you know, coming back to this week, there just isn't much for you to do at this point. If you can get somebody on Atlanta, this would be a good day to do it. And this is an opportunity to abandon ship on anybody on teams that are done playing this week, provided you aren't going to need them. Like, you can't drop Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, because they are amazing, and if your league continues, you're going to need them to win next week. But if you have any fringy guys on Detroit, on Indiana, and there are plenty of fringy guys on those types of teams, if you have any fringy guys on Phoenix or Portland as well, this is the time to move on, especially now with Temani Kamara, by the way, being ruled out for the rest of the regular season. That news broke just a few moments ago. Let's see if you guys have any thoughts for me that I forgot to break down. Zoe says, I'm in a dogfight to advance to the finals. I loaded up for tomorrow. I add Laravia and drop Jalen Duren as my choice with my last move. You know, it sucks, but like we just talked about, Detroit has no more games left this week. And if you got to just make it to the finals, that's how you add a bunch of money to your coffers. You do what you got to do, dropping guys that aren't playing. Tyler says, I'm in a tough spot in my finals semis. The semis, so not the finals. Opponent has about a four-game lead on me going into Sunday. I have Halliburton, Turner, Duren, and I need to win steals. Yeah, it sucks. If you're about to lose, you kind of have no choice but to drop even useful guys. I hate to say it, but that's the way it is. Like, if you're in your semis and you're not going to make the finals unless you drop somebody really, really good, you just got to do it. Yahoo Public Leagues pay out like $70 to the third place team, I think, so you get your buy-in back and then you get enough for a Subway sandwich. And then second place, I think, is double that. So even if you have to drop every important player on your team to make the finals, just by doing so, you basically double your take in Yahoo Leagues, and maybe, and sometimes more than that in private leagues, because I know in the head-to-head leagues that I'm in or run, third place doesn't get any money. So in those, like, just do everything. If anybody's taking a zero and you just got to get to the finals, even if you get your butt kicked in the finals, you still make way more money by getting there than by losing in the semis. So do what you can. DB asks, any injury status on Malik Monk? Well, there's fear that it's a knee sprain, which is a type of thing that usually keeps somebody out for anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. You can wait a minute if you want. And Sacramento plays tomorrow, so you know, you could get more information then. But I'd be floored if we saw Monk play in tomorrow's game. Absolutely blown away, floored. So he probably becomes a guy with zeros the rest of this week. So if you have Malik Monk, you probably have to get off of him. Don't take the zero and turn it into something the rest of this week, especially because you don't know if he's going to play next week. That's the Malik Monk report. And I said I was going to keep this one under 15 because there isn't a whole lot to do today, and I'm going to keep it under 15. Thanks for watching, everybody. I'm going to try to do another one of these 10 to 15-minute shots tomorrow if there's time. I am at Dan Bespris over on social media. Thanks for listening. Subscribe, like, do all that stuff. If you're finding us for the very first time, you're stressing out about your fantasy finals, this is a great way to do it. Hit that subscribe button. Follow on Twitter at Dan Bespris. Check out everything we got going on at sportsethos.com. And visit our pals at manscaped.com with promo code ETHOS20. ETHOS20 gets you 20% off your order and free shipping over at manscaped.com. Have a great Saturday, everyone. Stay dry. See you tomorrow, I hope.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.